Amen. Let's remain standing this morning as we read the Word of God together and bring the message that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart for this hour this morning. A very simple little thought and a very simple little outline that I hope the Lord will get in it and do just a little something for us. I do ask you to pray for Brother Hall. I don't request prayers for myself too often. But I'm telling you, these cataracts on my eyes has just about got to be a problem. I look up to these little lights around here, and they all got circles about that big round around them. And so the eye problem is not getting any better, okay? I want to ask you to turn to two places in your Bible this morning. And ask you to turn to Psalm 100, if you would please. Amen. Psalm 100, and then to Psalm 23. I'll read one verse in Psalm 100, and then I'll read the entire chapter of Psalm 23, six little verses, and try to bring the thought that God has laid on my heart. And really not using much of this scripture, but simply just a thought from it as a springboard to preach on what I feel like the Lord would have me to preach on this morning. Psalm 100 and then Psalm 23. Out of Psalm 100, I want to read, if I may, verse number 3 as our verse this morning. He said in that verse, "Know ye that the Lord is God. For it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." Notice that statement. "And the sheep of His pasture." And then Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now may the Lord add His blessing this morning to that reading, and you pray with Brother Hall. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful today for the Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for the song service today and how it stirred my heart one more time. Thank you just for the privilege, Lord, of being in the house of God and being able to fellowship with those of like precious faith. Thank you for your people that are here and, Lord, those that are possibly listening by way of radio. Thank you for allowing us to be a blessing and a part of their life. I pray today now for your divine presence. I pray for your power in the service. May the Spirit of God breathe upon us in an unusual way today to bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may our hearts be stirred within us today, Lord, that we might love you as we should. Help our cold, indifferent hearts to be warm toward thee, that we might love you with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul. Help us to be dedicated and faithful servants of the Lord. And I pray today you'd bless the preacher as I stand, Lord, to do my best to bring the message that you've laid upon my heart. Help me not to struggle and labor, but, Lord, help me just to preach it with ease and comfort today to the people of God. And may they find great help for their souls and depart from this place, saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. And we'll thank you and praise you for every sinner that's saved, every heart that is blessed, every home that is helped. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 4 one more time in Psalm number 23. where the Lord said, yea, though I walk, David writing here and says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Amen.
For thou art with me. And the next statement, the next phrase is what I want to be preaching from, a word in that statement this morning, where he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus said, the rod and the staff of the shepherd is a comfort to the people of God. The psalmist said in 100 that we are the sheep of his pasture, and that his rod and his staff were given that they might be a comfort to God's people. And I want to preach for a little while this morning, if the Lord will help me, on the sheep, the shepherd, and the rod.
Amen.
The sheep, the shepherd, and the rod. Throughout the Word of God in many, many, many places that I could go to this morning, the Lord's people are likened to sheep, and the Lord is likened to our shepherd. And I want to say I'm glad, thank God, that I'm in His fold today. And I didn't climb up any other way to get there. I was brought into the fold by the good shepherd himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, that give his life, laid it down that I might be saved. Because the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And there's only one way into the fold. There's not many ways. Brother Matthias told me this morning that some time ago the president of the Southern Baptist Seminary over in Louisville gave a lecture at Western University and said his thought was one way versus many ways. Now I'm telling you that people today have a plurality of ways to get saved, to get into the fold of the shepherd, but there is only one way. And he said, I am the door of the sheep.
Amen.
And if a man climb up any other way, he's a thief and a robber. And I'm telling you, if you're going to get into the fold, you're going through the door. That's the only way. You've got to go through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother Steve said in Sunday school that he is our reconciliator. He is the one that reconciles us unto God. And there's no other way. Friend, I don't care how good you are and how hard you work, you're not going to heaven on the merits of your works or your own righteousness. Your righteousness, the Bible said, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But I'm telling you, the sinner, and that includes those, whether they're of the Islamic religion or the Catholic religion the Jewish religion or any other religion, the Mormon religion, if they go to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, they're going because they're entered into the fold by the Lord Jesus Christ and none other. Somebody say amen right there. And so all through the Bible we found that great thought. But in Psalm 23:1, I think it makes it very vivid to us. For the Bible said there that the Lord is my shepherd and that I shall not want. Now, I believe that we're called sheep for many different reasons in the Word of God. I think number one is because a sheep is a very meek and a very weak animal. The sheep, they're not aggressive in their ways. And they depend totally for protection upon that shepherd. Now I'm telling you, one of our problems today is that we're not leaning upon the shepherd. That's right. Amen. That roaring lion is walking around the sheepfold, and I'm afraid that we're full of fear today because we're not leaning upon the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And some folks are trying to do it themselves, and I'm telling you, by the authority of the Word of God, you're not going to get the job done on yourself. It's got to. The Lord Jesus is our shepherd, and He will protect us and provide for us and preserve us and help us all along the way. And we're going to have to learn to lean upon Him and trust Him just a little bit more. Somebody say amen. That's right. We got the idea we're macho. I'm going to tell you to the devil, you're not macho, friend. Some of you young bucks in here that think you got the world by the tail, you'll find out one of these days the world's got you by the tail. Amen. Because that's right, because I'm telling you, we're drawn in the way of the world and the ways of the world. That's right. And the world has got such a pull upon the people of God today that it truly amazes me how much we're leaning toward the world and trying to be as much like those in the world as we possibly can without crossing over that line that God's drawn. Amen. That's right. We want to have hairdos like them. We want to have clothes like them. We want to talk like them. Oh, the only difference is we go to the house of God on Sundays and they don't. Now I'm telling you, the church has lost her influence and her power. She's lost her influence with the world and her power with God because we've drawn up too close to that line that the world lives on, and we're straddling the fence, ladies and gentlemen. And if we don't get over the fence, I'm telling you, we're going to wind up with splinters in our britches one of these days.
Amen.
Amen. Is anybody listening to me? You know, David, when he was a shepherd boy, and he said a lion or a bear come up and took a little lamb out of the flock. And he said he slew the lion and the bear.
Amen.
And he took the lion by the beard.
Amen.
And slew it.
Amen.
You men's got beards, be careful.
Amen.
Amen. Just little familiar joke there. But I'm simply saying that David protected the flock.
Amen.
And the Lord is our shepherd.
Amen.
And He is the only protector that we have today.
Amen.
If it was not for the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, I'll guarantee you that we'd all be drug out into a life of sin.
Amen.
And dragged into the very pit of hell in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
The devil could get you there, he would. I won't say, secondly, sheep are very timid and meek animals. I'm going to have to hurry.
Amen.
Thus, the people of God are to live their life in humility of spirit.
Amen.
I have never seen so many haughty spirits.
Amen.
As what I'm seeing today.
Amen.
I'm amazed at what's going on in the hearts of men of God today and in their ministries. Come on now. Come on, Father, Brother Hall, don't leave me. I'm still trying to preach to you. Amen. Some Brother Herschel Wood told me I'd made the big web page the other day, so I took a look for myself, and sure enough, I'm there. Would you believe that I'm an old man and shell-shocked? And I'm so crazy that I preach against motorcycles. I don't preach against motorcycles. I just preach against idiots that get on one and ride them. Ain't nothing wrong with a motorcycle. It ain't going to hurt nobody. But I'm going to tell you, when a preacher jumped up on one of them with his leather breeches on and his coat and takes off on a ride to Dollywood and tells folks he's going on an evangelistic crusade, you better believe I got some problems with that. And if they're listening this morning, you can tell them about it likewise. I'll give a flip. Amen to God. Hey, by the way, there's nothing wrong with a preacher riding a motorcycle. But when a preacher gets on a motorcycle going on an evangelistic crusade through the mountains, I've got problems with that. I want to say this right out front. Sister Hall and I are going on a vacation next week. We're going to leave next Friday. And we're not mixing business with pleasure. We're going to rest.
Amen.
I'm not going to tell folks I'm not going on a honeymoon with my wife and tell folks I'm holding an evangelistic crusade in the mountains of North Georgia.
Amen.
Come on in the house, boys and girls.
Amen.
I'm telling you that God's people are to have a humble and a meek spirit.
Amen.
Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. But rather than being meek and humble today, most people are proud and haughty. And God said that a haughty spirit and pride go before destruction and a fall. Come on in the house. And we're having fun today. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I'm going to say thirdly, sheep are prone to wander and stray from the fold. That's why he likens us to sheep, because we're prone to wander. The songwriter said we're prone to leave the God we love. That's true. Isn't that true? You better believe it is. The world gets the tugging, the pulling. We'll wander from God in our mind and in our heart, in our life. And we'll come to church and leave church and absolutely get nothing in our heart. You know why? Because our heart has wandered too far from God to get what God wants us to have. So sheep are prone to wander. I'm going to tell you, if they keep on wandering, that shepherd will break their leg one of these days. Amen, that's right. And I'm going to tell you, I'm surprised there are not more Baptists with broken legs today. If I see y'all hobbling in next Sunday, I know God got a hope to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Then I want to say that sheep will only listen to the voice of one shepherd. The Bible said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he said in 10:5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Now that's the sheep. That's the sheep. But I don't want to spend all day on the sheep. Come on now, listen to me. I want to draw your attention. God has been dealing with me about that shepherd's rod.
Amen.
Now, I may say a couple of things, and I hope they don't sound offensive, honestly. But God's laid them all, and I don't want them to be offensive to you, really. But I got to thinking about that shepherd's rod.
Amen.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In what way? How does the rod of our good shepherd, how does that thing comfort you and I?
Amen.
I got thinking about that shepherd's rod.
Amen.
And there is a first mention principle of Bible interpretation. That is, the first time something is mentioned in the Bible, that is the thought that it carries throughout the Word of God. That's called the first mention principle in the Bible.
Amen.
You know where the first place that a shepherd's rod is mentioned in the Word of God? Exodus chapter number 4.
Amen.
In chapter number 3, Moses has seen that bush that burned with fire and was not consumed. And he said, I'm going to go aside and see this great sight. And when he got there, God called to him, Moses, Moses, take your shoes off, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. I will say something about that in a minute. But you know the story, how God commissioned and commanded him to go down into the land of Egypt and there to bring the people of God out. Now I want to skip a little bit on you, but I want to say this. And chapter 4, verse 17 says, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Now that rod is mentioned before that in chapter 4. God said, what's that in your hand, Moses? And he said, it's just a rod. He said, throw it on the ground. And he threw it on the ground, and that rod became a serpent. And the Bible said that Moses fled from it. But God commanded him to pick that rod up by the tail. And he reached down and picked it up by the tail, and it became a rod all over again. And that rod that he carried played a significant role in the deliverance of Israel from the bondage they were in down in the land of Egypt. Anybody listening? I'm going to say, and then God told him, Said, they don't believe that miracle. Said, put your hand in your bosom. He put his hand in his bosom. He said, bring it out. And he brought it out and it was leprous white as snow. He said, put it down in there again. So he put it in there again. Pulled it out and it was the same as the other hand. Now I want everybody to get a hold of this. Why in heaven's name when Moses, come on now. Why in heaven's name did God tell Moses when he got on that mountain, take your shoes off for the ground whereon thou walkest is holy ground.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you something. Was his feet any holier than what his shoes were? Were his feet any more sin? Was his shoes any more sinful than what his feet were? Then why did God tell him to take his shoes off? I don't want nobody to get your feelings hurt. Don't think I'm trying to be angry when I say this. Where had Moses just come from? He had come from down yonder tending and taking care of those sheep.
Amen.
Now let me jump a little bit. Later when God's given the law, he tells Moses, tell the people, and I've got to break this down in our language, when they use the bathroom, they're not to use the bathroom in the camp. They're to go outside the camp, dig a hole, and bury that stuff. Said, because the Lord thy God walketh through the camp of the children of Israel. Y'all said, I don't want none of that stuff on my feet. And I'm just trying to be, biblical with you. I'm going to tell you why he took his shoes off. And then I'm going to tell you about the hand as well. He took his shoes off because he had been down there in the midst of those sheep. And I'm telling you, those sheep do things when they're out yonder in the field. And it's very possible Moses had some of that stuff on his shoes. Come on in the house. And the, come on now. And the thought there is that the man of God, come on now, that the man of God has got to minister his life amongst the sheep that God's given him. And all of them are not clean animals. That's right, buddy. Amen. And so there's going to be times he may have a problem with something on his shoes. And God said, I don't want that in on this ground. It's holy ground. Take your shoes off. There, come on now. Therefore, that pastor cannot carry that stuff into the holy place, or the preacher can. And by the way, neither can you carry that stuff into the holy place when you go in to meet God. I wonder how much sheep dung on the floor in here today. Had we gone around in it and brought it in here and have failed to take our shoes off, spiritually speaking, because this ground is holy ground that we're standing on. That hand. He said that hand that holds that shepherd's rod has got to be clean.
Amen.
It's got to be pure, buddy.
Amen.
No man's going to put his hand on that shepherd's rod with a filthy hand, not living a filthy life.
Amen.
I'm telling you, friend, ladies and gentlemen, come
Amen.
On. Now, I'm not leaving myself out. God have mercy on us.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I've never seen a generation. We're in trouble.
Amen.
We're in trouble because I'm afraid we've departed from the holiness of God. And we have failed to recognize that we're a sanctified and holy people in the eyes of God. And God wants our hands and our feet to be clean and holy. The hands that handle the Word of God must be holy. And the feet, ladies and gentlemen, that trod upon His holy ground must be holy and clean and sanctified as well. Amen. Amen, Brother Hall. They may not get what you're saying, but that's good preaching. I'll put a cement mark down for you. Amen. Now, is anybody listening? Now notice, God commanded him to take that rod down into Egypt and do signs with it. So I submit to you, first of all, that shepherd's rod is a rod of power. Friend does not. And I'm amazed at Ronnie Simpson preaching this morning on the power of God.
Amen.
And we have forgotten about the power of God in our lives. And we've settled down in our complacency, and we're not concerned anymore about having the power of God. Now, I heard him say as I was leaving the house, and what is worse about it is some folks that used to have the power of God have departed from it and no longer possess that power in their life. Oh, and I'm telling you, to know that my shepherd, the Lord Jesus, has got a rod of power. Praise God, he's got a rod that's all power. Come on now, amen. That rod of power ought to comfort you and I this morning. Knowing that he's got power over all of our enemies. Amen. Yes, over Satan, sin, flesh, over the world, over it all. He's got a rod that has power over it all. Amen. Now, listen carefully. He's got that power to deliver.
Amen.
Do you believe that? Listen carefully. In Exodus 7:17, it was the rod, called the rod of God in Exodus 4:20, that turned the waters of the great Nile River into blood. In Exodus 8:5, it was a rod that caused the frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. In Exodus 8:17, it was a rod that caused the lice to come upon the land of Egypt. In Exodus 9:23, it was the rod that caused the thunder and the hail to fall from heaven and the fire to run along on the ground. In Exodus 10:13, it was the rod that brought the locusts upon the land. Amen. Amen. All these miracles. Listen carefully. It's why he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." As a rod of power. All of the miracles that God done in the land of Egypt, ladies and gentlemen, they are signs to you and I as to the way God brings a sinner out of bondage, out of the bondage of sin. And friend, if that don't comfort your heart, you're still dead in your trespasses and sin and without God and without hope in the world. Praise God. Let me just say this and I'll try to move on. But see, get this. Here's the sad note. In Psalm 106 verse 7, the Bible said, "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea." I'm going to ask you something. Do you understand what God went through, the miracles of the rod of his power that he used to bring you out of sin? You realize when God saved you that the devil and the Lord was having a real battle on Mount Calvary that day? There was a battle of raging, thank God.
Yes.
Amen. Between the Son of God and the Son of Satan. Come on, in the house. I'm glad, thank God, that he stretched that rod of power toward heaven. And by the miracle of grace of God, he brought salvation down into the grasp of every old sinner, boy and girl that's ever walked upon the face of God's earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for a rod of power that works miracles. Was it not a miracle got you off that bar stool, Brother Andy? That rod of power. He just kind of gathered in your heart a little bit. Oh, Brother Andy said, "Woo! I feel a power I ain't never felt before." Don't think I want another drink. That a preacher, don't think I want another drink. Woo! Amen.
Amen.
I don't think I want another drink either. Except water and ginger ale.
Amen.
A little chocolate milk every now and then, white milk. Amen. What about that rod of fire? What about that miracle? Do you understand the miracles? See, our eyes are so closed to the miracles of God. Do you think it was an accident
that Miss Hall and I walked in Shoney's that day, and Miss Sharon was up there waiting on tables, and I left that little track on that table for her. Oh, no, and she come pulling in that little car out front. I'll never forget as long as I live. Do you think that it was just an accident that old Brother Ricky got down over here that night for about an hour and a half on his face before God? Come on in the house now. I'm telling you, God took that rod of power and stuck it in the heart of sinners and delivered it by the grace of God. That's exactly by the rod of His power. He brought signs and wonders and miracles upon the land of Egypt and brought them out with a high hand. Now I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus got done with Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, "Get out of here, go on." Now I'm going to tell you, when Jesus got done with the devil and working in your life, I'm going to tell you what the devil told you. Get out of here. Go on. Go on down to hell. Go on down there at the church. Go on. I can't take any more of this. I'm telling you, he's a rod of power. Rod of power. Power to deliver. Hallelujah. Power to deliver. Then, power to divide. They come to the Red Sea. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod." Hey! Stretch that rod out over the sea, Moses. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to divide the waters. And you're going across on dry ground. Woo! Hallelujah! They had come to an emphasis. They had come to an emphasis. I'm talking about they had come to a place that they could not pass through. Anybody in here like that this morning? Anybody in here come to the waters of emphasis this morning in your life? That there's something facing you that you just can't get through it. You know, there's just no way. The devil's behind you. And he's not alone. He's got all them little imps riding in chariots. And you just can't get through. You just can't. May I say to you, stand still. Stand still and behold the salvation of the Lord. And watch your great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, stretch that rod of power out over the waters. That's troubling your mind, and let God divide the water, and you can go across, not in mud, not in sod, in dry ground.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Y'all are looking at me like calves in a new gate. Divided the waters. I'm going to tell you that rod has power to divide your worries. Amen. What are you worried about?
Amen.
What's really troubling you? What is your problem?
Amen.
That rod of power is a problem solver. Just like it divided the waters and made a way, it can divide your ways and made a way. You know, can I give you a little piece of advice? I learned a long time ago that things that I worry about generally never come to pass. And if they do come to pass, realize they were so insignificant and little they didn't amount to a flip. We worry over molehills and make them mountains. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if we're sheltered in the arms of God,
amen.
Why worry about anything?
Amen.
Our times are in His hand.
Amen.
Time to be born, the time to die.
Amen.
You know, they said that's what made Stonewall Jackson so great. Stonewall Jackson believed that every man had a time to die. And when that time come, he was going to die.
Amen.
Therefore, it's like a stone wall. He'd just stand, you know. Because he felt like, if it's my time, I'm going. If it's not, I'm not.
Amen.
They were in a battle. And all the other generals began to retreat, and General Lee looked out at old Stonewall Jackson and said, "Look at Jackson. He's standing like a stone wall."
Amen.
And he got the name Stonewall Jackson. Amen. Somebody said he died. His time's in God's hand.
Amen. Right.
Come on. What are you worrying about? What are you fretting about today? Praise God, there's a rod of power that can divide the waters. Who is chasing you? Who is pursuing you? Who is hot on your heels today to trouble you? Let God divide the waters and let God divide the ways and watch you cross on dry land. Now stay right with me. It has power not only to deliver and to divide, it has power to destroy.
Amen.
The Bible said, and you'll have to bear with me on this one now. And some of you will think, well, he's not right. Exodus 14:26, when they got across on the other side of the sea, the Bible said, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea. Now it doesn't say he had a rod in it, but I'm not a fool. If he had a rod when he went across, he had the rod then. Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horses.
Amen.
That same rod that delivered the people of God and divided the waters and made a way, turned right around and destroyed the enemy that was following him. Do you believe? Woo! Do you believe the Bible today? I'm telling you, he has already destroyed, spiritually speaking, all of your enemies. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And it shall be cast into a lake of fire. Death and hell cast into a lake of fire. But I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, already. I'm about to run my head through. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I submit to you already that when Jesus got up out of the grave, that death was swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. And we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. That don't make you get... Hey, that rod that brought that amount is a comfort to my soul. Now, that rod has destroyed our enemies. It's a rod of power. May I say to you, it's a rod of provision.
Amen.
Exodus 17:5-6 said, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." Now, Christ was that rock that followed them. Now, I want to ask something. What was that water to come out? What was that water to come out? Running water is the Holy Ghost. When he smoked that rock, the water ran out and provided drink for the people. Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when our Christ, our rock, was smitten on the cross, thank God out of him flowed rivers of living water. I'm going to tell you that rivers of living water was none other than the Holy Ghost of God, ladies and gentlemen, flowing out for you and I to provide. Hallelujah! I'm glad I've got the Holy Ghost with me today that provides everything that I need in this life.
Amen.
He is my provision. Now, I'm going somewhere, so just wait right with me. Bear right with me. Now, I won't be much longer. I won't say that it's the rod of protection.
Amen.
The Bible said, Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So I say it's the rod of protection. As long as his hand was up, Israel won. When they dropped down, Israel was defeated.
Yep.
Back up, Israel won. Now listen, get a hold of this. I'm trying to get somewhere. He said, tomorrow I'll stand where? Upon a hill. With a rod of God in my hand. On a hill? Does that ring a bell? On a hill?
Yep.
On a hill called Calvary,
yep.
Jesus my Lord suffered for me,
yep.
Bearing the shame all the way, or pain all the way. Can you get a hold of that? May I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that cross, that shepherd's rod, that is a rod of power, that is a rod of provision, that is a rod of protection, that rod. Could it possibly be a type of the cross? At the cross. Come on, somebody take a lap. Somebody please help Brother Hall this morning. For crying out loud, he said, I'm going up on the hill, and it's that rod on the hill that will deliver you. It's that rod on the hill that will protect you. It's that rod on the hill that will provide for you. I submit to you that rod on the hill could have been Christ. I submit, secondly, that rod could have been the cross.
Yeah.
It could have been Christ.
Amen.
Somebody said, how do you get that? Paul said in Corinthians 1, for Christ is both the power and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
So if that cross was a power of the shepherd.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Then surely it's speaking of Christ.
Amen.
And surely it's speaking of the cross.
Amen.
Oh, but could it also be a type of the gospel?
Amen.
Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
It is the power.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God. For the gospel.
Amen.
That's the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir.
Amen.
Thank God that He came into the world.
Amen.
Lived a life without sin. Not one drop of His blood was ever shed in His earthly life.
Amen.
Oh, there came a time, ladies and gentlemen, in a place called Gethsemane that His sweat became as great drops of blood. I read somewhere the other day where they said there never been recorded in the annals of history a man that ever sweat drops of blood and lived.
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
But He sweat great drops of blood.
Yep.
Walked into Pilate's judgment hall.
Yeah,
do you see the miracle?
Amen.
Do you see the signs? Do you see the rod of power?
Yep.
As He's delivering, do you see the rod of power? As He's protecting, do you see the rod of provision? As He marches into Pilate's hall.
Yes, sir.
And very graciously humbles Himself.
Amen.
Into the hands of sinners. They begin to smite Him on the face. Pluck the hair from His cheeks.
Amen.
Put a crown of robe, crown of thorns upon His head. And a purple robe on, and bowed the knee. Cried, Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews! Then they stripped Him of the purple robe and sent Him from Herod back to Pilate.
Amen.
And there Pilate said, We'll charge Him and let Him go! They said, Crucify Him! But in an effort to release Him, Pilate scourged Him! 40 lashes. My cat of nine tails.
Yep.
His body and face was so marred that no man would know who he was.
Yep.
Can you see that miracle this morning?
Amen. Yeah,
as the rod of power is working miracles and signs and wonders. Now I'm sure that Satan said, much like Pharaoh, who is the Lord that I should let Steve Vincent go?
Amen.
I will not let him go. The Lord said, well, we'll see about that. We've got a little bit more time here and we'll see about that.
Amen.
Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? That I should let Ruth back go.
Amen.
Every time that lash come down across him, Satan probably laughed. Look at the fool. Look at him. Taking a beating like that. If he was God, and I'm telling you, when he was taking that beating, Satan was right in his face. If you was the Lord, you'd get up. Get up from there. I dare get up. If you can get up. He dared him to get off the cross. If you can, come down. If you're God, come down. Save yourself. Now it's with you and we'll believe. Signs and wonders as a rod of power took 40 lashes for you and I, friend. He marched up Calvary's Hill bearing his own cross. When they dropped him, laid him down on that cross and nailed his hands and feet to that cross and stood him upright and it fell down into that hole in the ground. No doubt the jar brought pain through his entire body. His mama looked in his face and said, could that be my little boy? Could that be my baby? Jesus stood there as a rod of power. The devil said, if you're really him, come on down and we'll believe you. Come on down and we'll believe you. And I know this ain't in the Bible. But when he looked up into heaven and said, it is finished! And bowed his head and died. I can't help but to believe, Brother Steve, that he looked over at Satan and said, let my people go! That ain't in the Bible, but I believe it's good preaching.
Amen.
Let them go!
Well,
you ain't got out of the grave yet. I'll watch that grave. He's not corrupting his body. He's not turning into corruption yet. That'll be a little problem here. He ought to be rotting by now. He's not like Lazarus. He's stinking. He don't stink. His flesh shall not see corruption.
Right.
And on that third and glorious morning, when he got up out of the grave, I believe he looked at the devil again and said, let my people go.
Amen.
And said, oh, not yet. Are you listening to me? But with that rod of power, he took his own blood. And I believe this with all of my heart. As he ascended back to the right hand of the Father, every imp out of hell, every fallen angel, he made a way. Praise God. Come on now. He made a way through every imp of hell, ladies and gentlemen. And left a trail of blood along the way. Praise God. That's why there's a way that's been made to heaven for you and I. Jesus said, I am the way.
Amen.
And when he got to heaven and placed that blood upon the mercy seat and walked over and he sat down on the right hand side of God. He looked over at Satan and said, let the people go. The devil, you know what the devil said? Don't look like I got a choice.
Amen.
Don't look like I got a choice in the matter.
Amen.
And he didn't.
Amen.
That rod of power.
Amen.
Amen. That destroyed the power of Satan and destroyed. Oh, it bruised his head. Destroyed his power, destroyed his authority. Amen. Come on in the house. Thanks be unto God. Well, we're not quite done yet. I want to say it's a rod of preservation. What did I do with my glasses, Lee? Brother Rome. Both of them. Gracias, hermano. Aaron's rod that budded in Numbers 17:8. It came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod
of Aaron or the house of Levi was budded, brought forth buds and bloomed, blossomed, and yielded. Amen.
Amen.
Listen carefully. It was Aaron's rod that swallowed up the serpent of the magicians in Egypt.
Amen.
And here in Numbers, that which was dead was brought to life. Thus we have the resurrection and the life. In Exodus, when he swallowed up those other serpents,
amen,
death, the other serpents, was swallowed up in victory.
Yeah.
Now listen carefully. The rod of Aaron was the rod of the king.
Amen.
The rod that gives life.
Yeah,
the rod of Moses, I mean. Sorry, the rod of Moses was the rod of the king. The rod that gives life. Listen carefully. That rod of Aaron's was the rod of the high priest.
Amen.
Woo! Yes, that because he lived.
Amen.
We live also.
Amen.
Woo!
Yes.
A rod of preservation. Amen. The king's rod of power.
Yes.
And the priest's rod of preservation.
Yes.
Praise the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody feel like shouting a little bit? I do. Amen to God. Nothing like it. Bless his wonderful name. And our great high priest sat at the right hand of God today. And because he is alive as a high priest, we're alive also. I say that his rod is a rod of preservation. Preserves us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Have you experienced the miracles?
Yes.
Of the shepherd's rod?
Amen.
Are you comforted?
Yes.
Over the fact that he has power.
Yes.
And protection.
Yes.
And provision. And preservation for the child of God.
Yes.
I don't care what the General Baptists say. I love them. But they're wrong.
Amen.
About eternal life.
Right.
I don't care what the Pentecostals say, but they're wrong.
Amen.
About eternal life. I love them.
Amen.
They're wrong. You need to look into that book a little deeper.
Amen.
Study the things of God.
Amen.
I hope that there's nobody here that has not understood the miracles of Egypt. And you that have experienced the miracles of Egypt been brought out, I hope you've not forgotten.
Amen.
That's what he said in Psalms 106. They forgot his mercies in the land of Egypt. They understood not his miracles. Do you understand the miracle of the cross? I've tried my best. Presented to you in the simplest way I know how today.
Amen.
If you do, I want to encourage you to come this morning to Jesus. Cast all your care upon him.
Amen.
Because he cares for you.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the morning together to the people of God. Thank you for the divine help you gave. I pray now you'll work in every heart tonight, this morning. Bring about deliverance and faith in God. Joy in those that are saved. Revival in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please, this morning.